What I'd like to do is to the point in the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Aldermember Starr.
Here.
Barner.
Here.
Polson.
Here.
Eller.
Here.
Kramer.
I'm here.
Mayor Wright.
Here. Okay, I'd like to welcome all of our visitors here tonight. First off, I'd take a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I'll make a motion that we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion and second. All in favor? Zero. Thank you. Okay, Mayor's report. I really don't have anything to report tonight other than certainly enjoyed all the weather this week. Finally.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just want to mention what a wonderful time we had at the Chamber Banquet Awards. They put on a great show, great presentation. That's a wonderful job emceeing. Congratulations to all the award winners. That's it.
Alderman Kramer.
Nothing, Mr. Mayor.
Alderman Polson.
I would echo on the Chamber Award dinner. It was very my first time, so it was very enjoyable. And congratulations.
Thank you.
Nothing tonight, Mr. Mayor.
Happy to sign. All right, thank you. Next, we have public comments. Is there anyone now that would like to speak tonight? Okay. We have no old business. We'll move into new business. And first up, we have the Chamber Rodeo. Kelsey?
Good evening. In your packet, you will find that we are requesting curfew to be waived for our rodeo, which is June 14th and 15th this year, and it begins at 8 o'clock both evenings. And then we are also proposing to distribute alcohol during the event as we did last year. I know all five of you were on the board whenever we presented our proposal last year as well, and the map is included in your packet. You'll see on the map where the boundaries are, where the alcohol is contained. Do you want me to go over all the criteria of last year or just open up for questions?
Unless the board wants you to.
Okay.
I think everybody pretty well knows.
It's all the same as last year's what I saw. So
yep.
No changes.
We are proposing to begin sales a little bit sooner.
Okay.
Last year we only sold from about 6 to 8. We found that people they didn't really know that we were selling alcohol. So by the time they found out that we had already cut it off. So we are proposing to begin at 5 p.m. and commence after intermission, which is roughly 9:45.
Quick question, Kelsey.
Yes.
I'm just curious, did you calculate how much was made just from the alcohol sales alone?
Yes, last year we raised $3,650, and of that we netted $1,774. As you can see, we had a bit of overhead. We had to buy tents, tables, signage, et cetera. So our overhead will be less this year.
Chief Thompson, there were no issues last year, were there?
No, there were none.
I don't think so. Thank you, sir.
I'll just say excellent job, guys. Proud of you. Do good work out there.
Thank you.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the Odessa Chamber of Commerce 2024 Rodeo event application.
I'll have to second.
Motion and second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor?
Thanks, Nancy and Jim.
Great job. Okay. Next, we have the budget update, which will be from Ruth Mallers.
Good evening. So I kind of just want to first go over the budget calendar, which is going to be your first packet, first page on your packet. So February 5th, that's next Monday, that's going to be the only special meeting that's not before like a regular board meeting. The February 12th budget meeting is going to be in a conflict with our normal finance committee meeting. So we'll just go ahead and not have that finance committee meeting if that's okay with everybody. And if you want, just send me an email and then we'll answer the questions. And then the other dates are just normal meetings anyway, so those shouldn't interfere with anything. I also sent you guys calendar invites for those. So if You didn't get them or you can't come. And so then the second page is still going to be the beginning page of the current fiscal year update. So I'm going to kind of go over each fund and then go over like the projections, any kind of operating budget factors that might have happened, and like the CIP updates. So the first one's going to be the general fund. So the operating budget, you're going to notice increased PD revenue and expenses, and that's for the new two SRO positions that came available. Those are all reimbursed by the school district, so it's really kind of a wash. We also had increased expenses due to the new City Hall addition. We are going to be preparing here soon within the next maybe week or two to get reimbursed for those as well. And that will be our final reimbursement for the City Hall project. Also looking at the sales tax, motor fuel, and the vehicle sales, the revenues on for that, they are perfectly on budget. I kind of wish I had better news, like we were way over budget. But that's not going to happen.
We'll get there.
Yeah, I know, right? And so projection, we're basically on budget. We might have to use some of the reserves, but nothing like we kind of planned for. So next is the electric fund. The operating budget, you'll notice in salaries that there was two positions that were vacant. We did have the interviews today. They went well. So hopefully we'll get those vacancies. And then we'll have insurance claim for July 22, the fire. I believe Shauna submitted for that insurance claim. So we're hoping to get back around 94,000. So that'll help out quite a bit with the expenses that we incurred. The capital improvements. We just recently purchased the 2024 Ram service truck. So that's great. I think they're still just waiting on the bed for it and some other materials for it. The SCADA system replacement, that's complete, along with the transfer cage redesign. There's two cages and one of them has been completed. And projection, we're right on budget. We budgeted to use 95,000 reserves. I don't know that we'll necessarily need those. A water fund. We had one unplanned purchase of two furnaces at the water treatment plant, which I believe totaled around $17,000. That's really the only thing out of the norm. The capital improvements with the control system screen and pressure programming, that's in progress. The repaint and repair of the silo, that's been delayed. I'm sure, I know you had talked about it. And then the engineering for the emergency water source. So of course, it's not really delayed. It's just still kind of a work in progress. I know Shauna's been on the back end trying to get some grants and whatnot for that. So, and the projection for that, we are on budget. We budgeted 254,000 in reserves. Again, I don't think we're going to have to use those, all those. A wastewater fund. And it looks kind of boring, I'm sorry, but it's fine. It's the best one. We only had one unplanned pump replacement at Centennial Hills, and that was roughly around $12,000. The capital improvement, the city/MoDOT gravity extension project, that is in progress. And then the pump station control panels at Johnson Drive and Centennial Hills, that's complete. And we are right on budget. Okay, the parks fund is next. So with the operating budget, Lindsay has received a long list from the management of... Are we okay still?
He's just waiting to go out.
So Lindsay did receive a long list from the pool management company of all the pool maintenance that is needed. So I know talking with her, she was going to go ahead and try to purchase some stuff this year that she possibly could. But we've also been working into getting a lot of it purchased next year as well. And I'm sure it's probably going to be the year after. Capital improvements, we've got the annual mower replacement that's complete. The fountain replacement, that's complete, but of course it's now needs more repairs. I don't even know if it's functioning yet.
We took it out for winter and due to it not working.
Yeah.
The whole beaver thing happened.
And then we had the ball field light repair, which are complete. Park fund is over budget, and we are having transfers and reserves and general fund reserves that will be transferring for that. The park development fee fund, I don't know if all of you guys know what exactly that is. So what that is, I'll just kind of go into a little bit of detail about it. Anytime a developer comes in and wants to develop a new subdivision, they have to either put in a park or they have to pay for pay this park development fee fund, which basically that's it's all based on like if it's a single dwelling homes or if it's multi-dwelling, it's all kind of based on that. And that is all in our fee schedule. So we did have one one developer that paid the $13,329, and that will be added to reserves. I'm pretty sure Lindsay is wanting to use some of that to remulch the parks next year.
And they can only be used on neighborhoods.
Okay.
What was that fund?
The funds that come in from the park development fee can only be used for neighborhood parks. So they can't be used at Dyer Park.
So then the next one is the capital improvement fund. We completed the paint striper, the stormwater on Russell and Chestnut construction, that's complete. Police vehicle replacement, that's complete with also some grant funding. Also, that same thing with the police body armor replacement, that's complete with some more grant funding. The document management software, that's in the works and should be coming down the pipe here just anytime. The police design engineering, that's also pretty much complete. And we'll have, if anything, we'll budget more for next year. We need to. The projection for that, we still need the reimbursement for the new city hall expenses, like I talked about earlier, but pretty much in right on budget. And so lastly, is the transportation sales tax fund. The budget, the revenues and expenses for the TAF project, that's been pushed back till next fiscal year. We might see just a trickle of things this fiscal year, but mostly it's going to be next fiscal year.
So just for clarification, the project is still on the same timeline. We just expect that the expenses will be hitting in the next fiscal year.
And the capital improvements, the engineering fees for the sidewalk project, which is roughly around $36,000. And then the street plan is complete. It was under budget and we were able to do a couple extra streets like we talked about before. And so the projection is we're budgeted to use the reserves and transfers for the tech project, but that again will be clear. I think that's all I have. I wonder if you guys have any questions.
Good stuff.
No questions? All right, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Valerie, for this. Next, we'll have the discussion on the judge's session.
Okay, before we get started, I just want to do a quick introduction, recap type of thing. I want to just kind of reiterate the history on how we've gotten to the point that we are now. So, as you all know, we hired a police building design group to do a facility needs study, to look at our potential growth, and to come up with a conceptual design based off of that information. That is exactly what they did. Just a kind of a quick reminder, because I do think I might have glazed over this a little bit, but the first design that was brought to the staff was an $11 million design. So, you know, we knew immediately that that was by far way too much for what
for our community in reality, and yes, so we redesigned at the 11 million mark. We took it back another 20%+, and that's how we got to that $8.5 million number. And that's where we kind of brought in Joey McCliney to understand our finances and to understand what we were able to do. After further analysis and communication with the public, we very quickly learned that 8.5 was a bit high for what we're financially able to do and for public buy-in as well. So that brings us a little bit to where we are today. And we, you know, we went back to James Estes with Police Facility Design Group and asked, you know, can we bring the 8.5 back even further to something that maybe doesn't, you know, 8.5 is 8.5. That got us all of the things that we needed for that, the future of Odessa and Odessa's Police Department and public safety. But we asked him if he could look at other alternatives. So he has been able to find other alternatives. None of them get us every single thing on the list, which is expected. That's what happens when you take $2 million off of a project, obviously. But he's done so in a way that doesn't just take out programming. So we've looked at it from both perspectives. He's looked at it in a way that will reduce some programming, but not things that maybe are critical to police operations. And then he's also looked at it with a reduction in the quality of materials or the type of materials. So James is gonna talk a little bit about that when he comes up here. But I did wanna give an overview of my finance discussions with Joey McCliney as well. I wanted him to provide kind of a construction number, if you will, for each level of sales tax option. So at a 0.5% sales tax, Joey feels that 6.5, or, you know, these are kind of estimated numbers, but around 6.5 construction price, you know, total all-in project for a 0.5% sales tax. A 0.25% sales tax would be obviously half of that. So it's 3.2 or 3.25. And then a 1/8 sales tax would be 1.6 million. So I just wanted you all to have that information before you hear from James Estes about what he's done thus far. The other thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, and I lost Karen, but the filing cutoff, now that we are moving the ballot language to the August ballot, or that's what we're proposing to you all at this time, would be to move the ballot language to the August deadline. The deadline for us to get that to the county or to be put on the ballot language would be May 28th. And because of Memorial Day, we will not have a meeting on May 27th. So that would mean really we would need to plan accordingly for at least a May 13th decision point on that. I personally feel it necessary. This last go around, we didn't have the ballot language decided. We didn't have that set in stone with the board, and it restricted staff's ability to educate and advocate for what we're planning to do. So my suggestion to you all would be that we choose a ballot language much sooner rather than later, if at all possible. May 13th is kind of the date that we're going forward with as of right now. I think, if we were to have that kind of set in stone, it would really help us with our communication outward to the public. And as we, you know, as Chief Thompson attends the different community group meetings that he goes to, it will really help him to better speak to the public if he has that direction from you all sooner rather than later. So those are just a couple of things I wanted to caveat before James comes up here. But if you have any questions about that part of it.
Okay, so we saw money at 8%, 0.25%, and 0.5%. Did we look at 0.375%?
Yep, so
because that's a legitimate.
Yep, it'd be 3.2 plus 1.6.
That's a legitimate dividing line as well.
4.8. Any other questions before James comes up? Yeah, he'll speak to more about what our options are at reduced programming and materials.
You don't answer that.
Good evening. Well, hopefully we can figure out how to move forward on this project. It's I know it's a lot, it's a high level of need for your police department. The handout, I'm going to talk to you about the things and some of the options. And I will say this right off, we have not detailed any of those options out. We've just kind of explored them because it still doesn't really sound like you're exactly sure where you all want to be dollar-wise on this. The handout I left, and let me say this, I'm here to answer your questions this evening about the cost of this, about the impact of reducing the cost, changing the cost around. Some other questions that I was advised of that you may all have. So it starts off with our credentials, and not that I'm really here to talk about myself or my firm, but I was asked to kind of reiterate our credentials, what we do, and I will let you assign what level of importance you see in those credentials. But essentially, this is the only project type we do, and it's the only project type we've done for myself for almost 40 years. The firm was actually started in 1978, following my predecessor's involvement on a federal grant that looked at law enforcement and the evolution of police facilities, how they deliver good quality services to departments. Following the completion of that four-year study, he started his firm. We've done design and planning for over 300 projects of this type, and they vary in size from a few million dollars to tens of millions of dollars. So there's a wide variety in sizes, but there's common threads that run through all these departments. And so what we try to bring to people is good planning that is not only going to be beneficial for today, but well into the future, so that 5 years after occupying the building, you're not turning around wondering, well, why didn't we think of this? Why didn't we think of that? I mean, I cannot tell you anything regarding how much money you should spend on your project. That's up to you to decide. So all I try to do is give you the good information on the impact of the dollars you spend or the dollars you don't spend in an effort to reduce the budget. But obviously budgets are up to you. But I do want to address a couple of questions. But before I do that, the first thing is really, what is the impact of the construction cost? And if you look at that second page, and I really go through kind of the, and I'm kind of touching base on the same thing Sean has touched base on. Although the one thing I want to point out, the numbers you see here, there may be a discrepancy between numbers I'm referring to and numbers Shauna referred to, because she was referring to the total cost of the project for a given size of the project. The numbers I'm showing you on this sheet are related to purely the construction cost of the building. So we have the construction cost of the building, and then what follows it are costs like furnishings and architectural engineering design fees, and a lot of the miscellaneous costs that get these projects built, but aren't really the bricks and mortar hard costs associated with construction costs. So what I'm showing you here going back in time is to kind of give you an idea that the department has not come into this with, here's what we want, that's what we expect, we're holding to that, and there's no negotiation, no compromise in this. So when we first met back in April, I think was our first meetings, and we meet in a very interactive format with the department. We look at how they operate, and then we pair up facilities to meet their needs. So when we start programming, one of the things I tell them is we don't want to think in terms of how are we going to meet these needs. We simply want to define the needs. And I believe I'm supposed to be a guide to make sure they're good, justifiable programming that we're putting together based on them telling me how they operate. So we did that. And so the first go around, and really what it is, it's a little bit like a jury taking a vote right after they've heard all the evidence. And they just weigh in before they discuss it all to kind of see where everybody stands. That's kind of what this initial programming is. It's kind of, let's put everything together. Let's get all the needs out there, put all the sizing of it together to see how big and how expensive this project is going to be. And so that's what we did. We came back with those numbers in May of 2023. And that program came to a construction cost, bricks and mortar, of $9.1 million, which total cost was the number Sean, I believe, was talking about, that was about $11 million. That's all the other costs on top of the building construction itself. So that's the results of the initial program. And even as we went through that, it wasn't a wish list of what the department wants. It's true things. But every department has a lot of things that would be beneficial. But when we start looking at the numbers as a whole, we look, well, this is kind of out of line to what we would expect for a department, a community this size. So we really need to go back into it. So in June, we did just that. We went back and we really started looking at prioritizing the space. Started looking at what are the things that, okay, that would be good to have, and it's good for future, but What can we reduce? So in June of 2023, we came back with a program, 17,700 square feet. That's the second grouping that you see down there. And the construction cost was $8.5 million. So we brought the size of the building and also the cost of the building down as well. And if you look on there, the first two numbers that we're dealing with, because in the preliminary stage, we're really using square footage numbers, is $478 a square foot. So we came back with 17,700. We actually did some design work, put together some design on the building. And then we had more follow-up meetings and with city leadership, it was determined that that's probably gonna be a difficult sell for the public. And so then we really had to go back and start sharpening our pencils, which we did. And by that, I'm not just referring to me, I'm talking about the police department. Sean and the mayor were involved in these discussions. So we really started looking at things. And I kind of addressed in there what we started doing. So when we came back at that $8.5 million, and it was determined that this will be difficult to sell, we started looking further. And we were looking at trying to get a 20% reduction in square footage. So when we were at 17,700 square feet, the discussion was we really need to reduce another 20% out of it. And that's what we did. And we started getting some budgetary numbers that we thought would be workable. So we came back with a facility where we took about another 20% out. And I kind of outline in here, and we can talk about any of those things that you want to, but really what we did is we took out some storage areas. We reduced the Sally Port where they can drop off prisoners, detainees from two bays down to two. We looked at rooms within the building that we could share space, but we wouldn't really have any loss of functionality. And after quite a bit of work, I think we came back with a very good plan. And that's the plan, which is that third grouping that was developed in August of 2023. We had kind of the open house, we had the discussion area, we had the drawings of the building and the rendering of it, and we had the floor plans of it. That's the building that you see here that was 15,665 square feet. It had a construction cost of $6.9 million and a total project cost of $8 million and change. Now, one of the things that we did in addition, we really started looking at everything we could do to simplify the building, to make it a highly functional building, but the shaping of it, everything we were doing, the materials we were looking at, we did everything we could to reduce the cost, the heights of the building, just very, very, a lot of things right there. So we brought the cost down to about $440 a square foot. Along with the reduction, that's how we got to the $6.9 million a little over $8 million total project cost. And then since that time, it's been looked at further, and it's probably not financially feasible right now to do everything that we had in that design. So it was requested of us to go back and look and see what we could do to further reduce the project. And at this point in time, we knew, okay, here's the number we had to be at, $6.5 million total. So we started looking at, well, what kind of project cost is that going to allow us? And we started looking at that. We think at about $5.5 million, $5.3 million, somewhere in that neighborhood. We thought with the other project costs, we would get down to that $6.5 million or somewhere right in that range for sure. Anyhow, again, this is all kind of preliminary until you really get into the nuts and bolts of detailing out a project. I mean, you don't know exactly what the costs are, but when we get into the details, we manage. If we have a preliminary cost of $6.5 million, we're managing the design the rest of the way through to hit that, and the contractors bid it. So we have not redesigned the project that you saw in here a few weeks ago. That is the building that is 15,665 square feet. But we have gone back into it and started looking at those numbers at the city's request. Like I said, I think we need to get down to about 5.5 million to have about a 5.3 to 5.5 to have a 6.5 approximate total budget for it. And we believe we can get there, and I address some of the things that we started looking at in that, such as I say eliminate zero control, but I'm only talking about eliminating it from this project, from the building. It would have to be moved to some other location. We started getting rid of an extra interview room. We made a further reduction in kind of the overall space in several other rooms, an across the board reduction of square footage in some of the rooms where we thought we could do some. But we have also done things like, as an example, we've located the patrol sergeants in the squad room. It's workable, but it's not highly desirable. So what I would say is when we've gone down to this number to get to about $5.5 million, I think we start cutting into some functionality, but it's relatively minimal. We don't think we have hurt the project significantly. I mean, over the years, will there be things that the department might look at and think, yeah, I wish we could have had this, or, you know, I wish we could have had that. Yeah, that's probably so. But operationally, it's going to work quite well for them for a good number of years to come. And certainly, compared to what they're in now, they're going to experience a period of time where it's going to seem, you know, like an incredible space to them. But what I worry about is once they've acclimated, once they really get back into policing, what about things that they start missing? And so I do think that we can get down to the number that will meet what we've been told we need to get to. And I think it's still going to be a good project. It's got some compromise in it. But I think it's workable, and I think it'll make a good project still yet. So that's kind of where we are, and I'll be glad to. Well, let me address one other thing right there. Is we looked at two avenues. We looked at purely reducing square footage. The easiest way to reduce costs on any project is you reduce square footage. There's other factors that go into it, the quality of the project, the components you put into it, the level of finish. Although those things, you can take a building of equal size square feet and start stripping out everything that makes a building of higher value, and you won't save a whole lot of money. Square footage is the best way to reduce the cost, and that's really what we've done so far. But we have asked ourselves that if the police department viewed it that cutting the building another 2,500 square feet or so, if that's going to start really impacting their operations, what else could we do? Well, one thing we talked about is we could change the construction time. We could lower the quality. I'm not a believer in that. And I put a couple of pages together to kind of help you, to help clarify why I'm not. But the overall idea of what we talked about doing was making the area that is now, would now be the council courtrooms and public storm shelter. That's a hard masonry structure, a rectangular structure to resist a direct tornado hit. We would leave that pretty much as it is, although we took a little bit of square footage out of it, but we still have in excess of the original program's desired number of people to be able to come into that storm shelter. So we still meet the program need of it, even though we've reduced the size of it a little bit. It's still going to be a storm shelter. It's going to be very similar to what we planned all along. The rest of the building, which is almost another type of building, we looked at, well, what if we made it wood frame? What if we used a lot less of the security things and the things that we typically put in a police building to bring the square footage costs down? What if we use mechanical systems that aren't quite of the same quality level as to what we would like to put in? And there's all kinds of levels of mechanical systems and the quality of them. I'll just leave that at that. There's quality level for a lot of the products that we put into the building. And we think, we don't have this in detail yet, but we think by changing the quality level of what would be two-thirds, three-quarters of the building, we could potentially stay closer to the 515,665 square feet, give you the same building that you saw in that design, but we would just lower the quality level. It would be wood framing instead of right now, the outside of the building, it's a precast, which is concrete and steel building. That's the frame of it. The interior is all metal stud framing and sheetrock. We would change everything to wood stud framing, and we would just change a lot of the things that we typically do in a police building, which is going to lower the quality. Now, the reason I don't like lowering the quality level is something that I discuss in detail on the back page. But the short version of it is that this is a building that you may very well be in there for 70, 100 years, if you, depending on the growth of your community. That building, the way we initially designed it, the way they designed most police buildings, will still be standing. If it's a wood frame structure or some of the reductions that we're talking about, it'll probably still be standing just like a house will, but there's probably a lot more maintenance that you're going to incur over the life of the building. What you save in initial cost is probably going to cost you more as you go down the road versus the project that we designed for. And our belief is this, is that your one tenant is going to occupy that building. You don't want to be like a business where you rent a building for 5 years and you outgrow it and you move to the next building. You're going to have a police department in that building for a long time if you, depending on the growth of your community. So we want it to be a good balance of good durable materials today. But we can reduce the quality, which is going to increase the maintenance costs over time, and which would lower your initial costs today. It's rarely done in this type of building, in a 24/7 critical use building. So I don't recommend it, but it is an option. So that's kind of where we are. We believe we can make cuts to get the project a high quality construction, down to the square footage that meets your financial needs. And that's kind of where we are right now. I will just very briefly address, because I've got a document here that you all can read for yourself and take a few bit. The question was asked about renovation versus new construction. And I know it's real, and I'm not against renovation. We're doing one right now on a 100,000 square foot building out in Casper, Wyoming. If you can get a building and renovate it and make it comparably as functionally efficient as a new building and do it for a cost savings, I'm all for it. But it's kind of a rare thing that happens. A lot of times the mandate of renovations are done for entirely different reasons, to keep a central downtown location, for how it looks in terms of to the community, reusing an existing building, historic preservation. There's a variety of reasons where renovation makes sense. But oftentimes it doesn't pan out dollars-wise. If it's purely, we want to save dollars, so let's find a building and renovate. And again, I discuss it in detail here, but my experience tells me over 40 years that on average, if we can do a renovation project and we can get you into that building for 10 to 20% less than what it was going to cost new, that's highly successful. In other words, that's doing pretty good. There's an equal chance that for any building that you buy, acquire, and decide, well, let's renovate that, there's an equal chance you will spend as much, if not more, than building a new building. And unfortunately, so oftentimes, we don't know that until after the building is bought and after you really get into the details, because there's a whole lot less uncertainty with renovating an existing building. You have to acquire it for a very good price. And the fact of the matter is, most people selling a building are selling it without thinking that when you buy it, you're going to totally change the use, and maybe a lot of what you're buying won't even work for it. And one of the reasons we see renovations cost so much more, especially in a 24/7 critical use building like a police facility, is because you buy this building, maybe it's in pretty decent shape, but you start designing it and you realize the mechanical systems will not supply the amount of air for the occupancy of the building. You don't get the fresh air exchange that's required by code. You get into a lot of issues with the mechanical systems. And let's say they're up on the roof, so we've got to replace the mechanical systems, which is an expensive component in itself. You bought it with the purchase of the building. So the owner's like, that's got good mechanical systems up there, but you find out they don't work for you. We have to replace maybe the toilets don't meet the current code, so we have to add in more toilets. Maybe it probably doesn't have the requirement necessary of the electrical backup or the electrical power to supply all the needs of a modern police department, including backup systems on emergency generator to keep a building going 24/7. So there's so many things that you buy with a building that you have to do away with and replace brand new. So everything you thought you bought with that building that you paid money for, that you have to start changing it, is kind of money thrown away. And it happens frequently. I brought up the Casper, Wyoming project. They bought an 8-story business center, a totally different kind of occupancy. We did a study for them ahead of time, but they didn't do a due diligence. We recommended that they do. We put together the cost based on if we can use all the mechanical systems in the building, I'll save quite a bit of money. Well, it wasn't until the building was designed to meet their needs that the occupant load and all the needs of the building could not be met by the current mechanical and electrical systems. And they're spending $6 million to replace all the mechanical and electrical systems, which added a substantial amount of money to the project. So there's unforeseen situations that you just cannot plan for in renovations. And that's kind of the issue that you run into with renovations. I've spilled out some of the other details in there that I'll just kind of let you look at. If anybody is thumbing through any of that, has a question based on anything you see in there, I'd be glad to address that as best I can. And then the last thing I did is I put together what drives the high cost of these projects. I'm not going to cover that. They are an expensive building. And I've kind of addressed in here for your information why these buildings are as costly as they are. The average price right now in this area, in the Midwest, is right around $460 to $470. We're kind of working beneath that trying to simplify the construction of the design that we proposed. But on the coast right now, we're hearing all the time of $600 to $800 per square foot for buildings like this. They're terribly expensive buildings, and like most construction. So, you know, hopefully I've given you some information. I'd like to take any questions that you have.
I noticed that in August, the price was the $440 per square foot. And then down at the bottom, the currently proposed one is $478 for less square feet.
Yeah, that is an error. The $5.5 million ties into the $12.5 million. When I changed that number once, actually this afternoon, because I knew we were basing it on $440. Evidently, I didn't see that in my file. My error. That
I just thought you were building an inflation.
No, it's still the 440. We're still trying to build the building, even with this further reduction. We're trying to build it as efficiently as possible. But I think if you multiply it out, the $5.5 million for we'll build about 12,500 square feet. It's just a an Excel spreadsheet here.
We
have some inflationary numbers built into the project. That's in those soft costs. That's part of that cost that takes construction costs and raises it up some. Because, you know, our costs are kind of for today, and you know, we're not sure if construction is going to go up or down. If we're lucky, it rarely goes down. But we have been living in some unusual times, and we've at least seen a flattening. So,
to think about
it, yes,
and decide on. And I'd personally like to hear what Chief Thompson says about some of these eventually, not maybe tonight.
Definitely.
And please don't think that this is a reflection of how we feel about the work you guys have done, because it has got nothing to do with that.
Oh, I
the proposed building was beautiful, and I would love to start construction tomorrow, but feedback from the constituencies of our city, they don't have an appetite for a half-cent sales tax for the next 42 years. And that's the reality that we have to live with, and because we have an extremely inadequate facility that we no longer even own. So we have to do something.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Did a very good job explaining. And it was very useful, very helpful. Thank you for coming.
Any questions that come up? I mean, you relay those to Sean and the chief and pass them on to me. I'll answer anything I can.
Just a quick question. I just popped in my head. Not that we want to. But if we took out the municipal court side of things, just made it just a police station with nothing extra. If you looked at how much that extra, the municipal court part of that would be?
No, that would be an easy thing to do. I mean, obviously, we took out animal control.
Right.
I think that might have posed the question of what if we took out courts? Court, once you have that multi-use room, mm-hmm. or city council and courts, if you have that big multi-use room, it doesn't do much good to take out courts because they don't really occupy too much space beyond that. It's kind of a small area.
I didn't know I'm going to get asked.
Yeah. I mean, so,
be nice to have an answer to that.
Are you asking? Yeah, I was going to say, are you asking for the entire storm shelter area? Just X out. Yeah, I think the number with that was 1.5, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, and maybe I can help answer some of that. I mean, this is, Mr. Estes doesn't have those exact numbers for you, but in the original plan where we were at that 8.454 million figure, you know, the building construction cost of the storm shelter was right at almost 1.5 of that. That's just construction dollars for that particular side of the facility. Now, when we went back and talked about square foot reduction, there was a little bit more taken out of that, but we left that particular program and in the facility. It's just a little bit, as Mr. Estes explained, we're still meeting the needs and beyond that, the needs that we spoke with them about. But we did reduce that, the total occupancy by reducing the size of that section of the building. So in theory, you know, if you were to remove that out of some of these additional figures that he's looking at, it would be a little less than that 1.5 because the building was already designed a little smaller. But, you know, that's certainly a discussion for you all.
That's what I was looking for. Thank you. That answered my
question. Did I even stay in
there? No.
Go ahead, Maggie.
Did you just say on this one you took out animal control?
That was something that we discussed, and that was, so we looked pretty hard, you know, I'll be honest, Alderman Starr, if it comes to a part of the facility that protects my officers, removing that, or removing animal control, I have a hard decision to make. And when we reduced square footage, animal control came out of this construction. We would have to find another way to perform that function somewhere else, just not at this site. That's part of this function. Does that make sense?
And then pay for that as well.
Yes.
Yes. There would have to be another mechanism thought through on where we would be able to do that portion of the function of the department. But I mean, when we took this facility size down even more, I had to make, we eliminate evidence control where we hold some pretty harsh chemicals and how that air filtration system works so I can hold animals, or do I value the employee safety and give them the facility they need to do their job safely and eliminate the animal control portion?
Well, I understand that, but the way people complain about the animals and their call and have nowhere to.
And I'm not proposing to do away with the program.
Build something somewhere else.
Control,
that makes no sense.
We would just have to find another mechanism to house the animals if we didn't do it in the building. But we were trying to reduce square footage. And as Mr. Estes said, the best way to control costs, which is the feedback we're hearing from you all to how we can control these costs, is to cut out square footage. And I had the hard job of trying to figure out how do you do that. Where do you cut the costs and provide the use for the police officers that are out, you know, protecting our citizens?
Yeah, I totally understand that. And I totally agree with that. But in my head, it doesn't make sense to have to find either another piece of property and then build something else because we're still spending money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it isn't going to cost $440 a square foot to build a dog kennel, especially since we already have good metal on the outside part. You wouldn't have to spend near that amount of money, which is what this building costs per square footage, to provide something to house the animals. We could attach it to a building on the hill, maybe out here, build something that's only for housing animals, doesn't have the same set of code requirements that a critical use structure such as the police station requires.
I will say, you know, Alderman Kramer, the only thing I would add to that is metal buildings are still very expensive buildings to make. I've priced them. I've priced a standalone building. You have sewer. You have to bring power, sewer, water into these facilities, which it already exists in the facility that's being designed here. So, you know, I don't have the numbers to say that standalone building will cost X and, you know, the square footage in here will cost Y. But you also have to look at the time and the ease of how we design our animal control. I have one employee. She's 50% animal control and she's 50% codes. So then, you know, how do you manage a facility that's off-site, maybe locked up at a different location with my staff that I have, the current staff I have? So, you know, I guess having a facility within your own police department does help with staffing requirements needed to run said animal control. Again, not a desirable outcome that I was asked and tasked to do. That wasn't the only area that was square footage was reduced out of. I mean, we removed, I think, entirely an evidence control position. and try to combine that with other square footage workspace that was already designed within the structure. So, I mean, that wasn't the only area. Like I said, Mr. Estes had mentioned construction material costs, right? You know, you could construct the facility as proposed or close to it as proposed if your all's decision would be to utilize a different quality material cost. Still making your hardened storm shelter out of the material that's needed for code, you know, safely house those people during a storm, but you would use a different material for the remainder of the building. There's pros and cons to that, but certainly you guys would need to discuss that. And really what and Shauna, you know, you can answer too. You know, I feel that we're at a point where I need direction before I go back to Mr. Estes's firm and say, hey, we want you to design us a $5.5 million facility, or we don't want you to design a facility anymore because we're going to go out and try and find a facility that's already built. We're going to try and renovate it. You know, either way, I'm coming back to you every board meeting asking for your all's input, how you want the direction of the, I mean, we all know there's a need. I mean, I know you guys and I have spoke quite a bit about that. And, you know, how can we address those needs in the next few years is really what we need the direction from you all. Shauna, anything to add?
I agree 100%.
I know it's a difficult decision for you all, and that's why we want you guys to have all the time that you need to discuss that amongst yourselves and as a group, and then provide us so that we can in turn bring you. I mean, you don't yet know what a 5.5 looks like because we haven't designed it. You know, do you want us to go design that? If so, you're going to have to give us some budgetary money to go do that, because we already asked Mr. Estes and his firm to design the building for our needs after reductions a couple of times that we did that, and we've presented that. And after that presentation, the feedback is that that's not financially feasible. So we need to know, I need direction from you. We can all put our thinking hats on and try and come up with the best solution for Odessa. That's what this is for. But I think that we need to know kind of what your direction would be before we ask Mr. Estes or referring to renderings again and get to that point. And it might be after budget before we get to that point too.
So knocking out 5,200 feet from the 8.5 to the 5.5, how much does that decrease the officer's space? I mean, I realize it's way more than what they got now, but
so
is it going to put them in a little bitty space rather than?
And you're talking about the August program versus the proposed program.
Right.
Yeah. We're putting sergeants in a common area squadron. And a squadron is where the officers come in, they'll do their reports, they also do their briefing before and or after patrol. And, you know, sergeants are typically a management position, and they have some of the same characteristics of a patrol officer, and they're in the field. They also have management duties and generally need some private area. We already have the sergeants in a shared space, but we're kind of in that area. We're cutting beyond what we would recommend, but we're cutting what we have to make it workable.
One other example of a star is the Sally Port. You know, it was originally designed to be able to park two police cars in there, and we removed square footage to only allow for one secure vehicle parking. The jail cell, the holding cell, so to speak, you know, was designed for two cells in case you had a female, male, you know, that you don't hold in the same cell, but we eliminated one whole cell. So now it's just one cell to house one detainee while we process them for a warrant, DWI, whatever that would be. It's still temporary. You know, our long-term facility is in Lexington, but a safe place for that officer to process a detainee. I'll just, you know, share here recently, we worked a very major case involving a discharge of a weapon. We had to bring that detainee down to the police department. You've been in there, you know.
Yeah.
you know, he's just fired his gun at people and we're detaining him right next to my desk. So, you know, my staff looks at me and you know, they want a safe place to work. And I want to provide them a safe place. And I know you guys do too. And that's why these discussions are important, because we continue to find reductions and I have to say, bring back animal control in this facility. Well, the only way to maybe do that is to completely take out any holding, you know, or reduce evidence, you know, processing. And that, in my opinion, that takes away the officer's safety, you know? So that's why I made the hard decision that was a lot of square footage in the building. We removed that portion out of the building in our discussions. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so we cannot really go over 6.5 at this point and try to get a sales tax unless you any grant monies come in or we find some other avenue. I mean, that's what I'm hearing, right? I mean, when you ask me what's the price, I think we're looking at 6.5, right? So
that would be the half cent.
That would be the half cent, yes. So when I look at option number 3 here, and you've got that for 6.9 million. And I want to ask Chief Thompson this, and I'm reading all of this into this. Is this a satisfactory facility for you with these cut downs? If, you know, it looks like you're just doing this out.
Well, I want to point out third option, that the six, that's just construction dollars. That does not include the desks, the tables.
So and that it, was it the 8.5.
That's the 8.5
building. That's the 8.5 total.
The 5.5 is the 6.5 total.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I misunderstood.
Yeah. So I appreciate the question because I definitely want the correct information.
I totally
there.
Misunderstood.
Oh, it's fine, no worries. So the bottom figure, the proposed is 5.1. That is just construction cost.
So that's really what we got to look at here in the half.
We're looking at another 1.1, 1.2 in soft costs.
Okay.
That would include, you know, the technology that goes into the building, and we're even eliminating some of that technology because we're going to more mechanical systems versus some of the higher tech systems. Maybe it's less video surveillance than what we originally planned. You know,
okay,
we're gonna,
I misunderstood.
That's where we get to the lower dollar figure.
Yeah, so the bottom one is the one with one cell, one vehicle sally port.
That a half cent sales tax would pay for. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we believe it would. I mean, and that's not the only room. Every room, you know, from the offices to a conference room to the lobby to the employee's workspace was reduced in square footage. We looked at everything that would still meet ADA requirements and requirements for office personnel to work in. But how could we continue to reduce this down? And that's how we were able to get an additional 20%, for lack of a better term, you know, out of that building, which was a goal. I mean, that was a goal so that we could try to get this number down, you know, even lower than 8.5.
I'm sorry, I did not understand that included. We had to add on the other half.
So really, we're kind of at, I don't want to say a fork because we've got multiple options here, but we need to decide if 6.5 is the avenue that we want to go, or if we need to go less than 6.5. If we choose to go 6.5, we need to decide if we want to do the reduced square footage or the reduced material costs. And then if we do reduce square footage, what are we going to, not that, that we have to find a solution for animal control, but does the board want animal control in this facility? If so, then we really have to, I can't tell you that there's a solution for a 6.5 with animal control in it necessarily.
Well, and I think we need to discuss what options are if we don't have animal control. We need animal control.
Right.
You and I had it today.
It
needs to stay.
Job.
Yeah, the work will still happen. We will still have an animal control, you know, officer. We just wouldn't have the ability to keep them overnight and for long periods of time.
That's definitely.
For a temporary, I guess temporary is a hard word to say sometimes, but until another solution is right, until another solution has been, you know, determined.
I'm not personally not a fan of reducing the construction material quality.
It was hard for me to stand up and tell you that this building would be here 100 years from now by reducing the quality of the material.
That doesn't sound makes
sense. You know, it's obviously a decision that is a generational decision. This will affect families for generations to come, and that's an important decision. But I wouldn't want a family 40 years from now to have to start from scratch because the building is no longer able to be occupied because we chose today to put
right. It's hard enough that we've got to reduce square footage to get down to something that the sales tax can pay for, but to reduce the quality of the material is not a good. I don't think it would be a good decision at this for this board to do to, you know, make a building that's supposed to last a long time. So,
well, I think it's also important to note that we have a total square footage. We did take animal control. Not that I say animal control, the pound. We took the pound out of this facility, but I mean, I'm continuing to research other ways to provide that service, like Alderman Kramer had mentioned, other facilities that may be suitable. The problem is, you know, I don't have any of those estimated costs to share with you tonight because we just weren't sure what direction you guys would want to go. Standalone pound, I mean, I think you would almost have to budget $150,000 just to do a standalone on a facility that we already own, like, you know, one of the other facilities. A metal Morton type of building. But if you were to do like a room like we currently have inside of an existing building, I haven't even gone to assess any other city facility that maybe could adopt a room inside a room, for lack of a better word, like we did, like we're currently doing now. I mean,
I think that's something we should look at and other around because it looks like this would be a good way to keep your production or your, you know, functionality and move that somewhere else. That's what I'm seeing here, right? I mean, that's definitely something we should look at.
Yes, okay, and so I will.
Sure. Back to the cells. If you've got a man and a woman, how does that work? I mean, you don't have one cell. You put a blanket between them, or
no?
I know, but I mean, what if you have a man and a woman? You have to process.
Well, that's why original plan had the two cells. I mean, I'm telling you what we're trying to work with here, you know, and the square footage that we have, and
I mean, you could say that forever on end. What if we had two cells and we had three people detained, or what if we had four cells, we had five people detained? So you're that's the idea behind kind of the study that James put together is, you know, to what point are we expected to have, you know, our programming and our staffing needs.
At this point, anything we provide is 100% better than what we have. We don't have a detention cell at all.
Correct.
I agree.
And that's a great point. I mean, I didn't eliminate, what we did is we're not eliminating the program. We're trying to reduce square footage. So one way to do that was to put the two cells to one. And we eliminated the hardened interview room, because we have a soft interview room, so to speak, that we could still interview suspects or detainees in as well, which is still a safe facility. It's just not near the cells. You'd have to relocate them to another part of the building, but that is available. So we're able to eliminate some square footage with that.
All of this is based on, we don't even know if possibly the grant money could provide some of this. I would like to see you be able to add to this with whatever portion of that grant money. You may not get anything, but you might get a full 3.8 million. Can it be built? Can the plans be done on like a contingency based on, we can do this if you get this much of the grant, or we can add this much, get this much grant, you know?
To speak on the grant, I can tell you that the application was submitted. It was submitted for the $8.5 million proposal, which we have all of that data for the grant purposes. And we should know something in the next 30 days. There were over 400 applicants statewide. It is a competitive grant. All I can tell you is I tried to write the best one I could with the facts that we had and the need of the community. And we'll just have to wait and see. But we should know something in the next 30 days on that question.
But
there are other, you know, there's other grants too that I will continue to explore, and maybe that they don't pay for the hardened part of the construction part of the facility, but things that go into the soft costs, you know, radio systems, antennas, computers, things that my officers use on a daily basis to do their investigative work. There's also grants available for that, and I'm continuing to look at that to find out which ones are we're going to qualify for and when is the appropriate time to apply for those grants. So there's ways to reduce costs on top of just the construction. You know, we can do so with these soft costs.
But it would be hard to change the plans with any of the grant money once they're established.
Yes, I mean, I think if you know, in a perfect world, if that grant were awarded, you would look at that $8.5 million facility because that's what was applied for. That's what the information we have right now. And we would come back to you with all of that information and let you guys make the decision how we wanted to proceed. Just to do that.
We don't need to decide tonight. And I think the biggest thing that we need to decide on is whether we're doing a half, quarter, eighth, whatever, because that will absolutely impact the design. And I believe you basically have the concept of the building. So as far as any final design or anything, really doesn't have that much to do with it, other than we need to know where we're going to be. That's the way I see it.
Alderman Folsom, do you have a question?
I do. Tell me how, just because I want everyone to know, eliminating the evidence disposition, how does that affect everything?
So what I did is... The person that would be working in that, the way we designed this facility was, you know, I think Shauna used Thomas Steele her phrase, you design it for yesterday, today, or tomorrow. We designed it for tomorrow, right, for that future growth. So I expect employees to utilize that space, but how can we combine it with other space that's already within the building? So what we did is we just absorbed that workspace into someone else's workspace.
So it won't come, because I know evidence is very important. So I just want to make sure that eliminating that doesn't compromise evidence is processed.
No, that the processing station stays. This is one of the office workspaces that basically we're reorganizing the facility or the how those offices work, and then that position would be absorbed into one of the other workstation spaces that was designed in the conceptual artwork that you already saw. But no, they'll still have safe place to process their edits. We're not compromising that.
$6 million, it sounds like a lot, but with construction costs, I mean, I think you've done a great job of bringing this down to $6 million, because it's
hard.
You're getting you're not getting a lot of bang for your buck for $6 million anymore. You know, I mean, this is nice, but when they say $6 million, it, you know, construction costs are high. So
it's a comparable. Our sidewalk project has doubled since we initially started it.
Yeah,
it's doubled.
Mm-hmm. And that would be my fear of this. If we keep putting it off,
To answer your question, I think we have to go to the half-cent sales tax in order to at least build a bare minimum police station that we need right now.
Yeah, I agree. And I feel like it's, you know, we're kind of at a point where we have to allow the community to decide that for us. And if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't pass, then we will see what other options are.
I just feel like we need to have some sales tax in order. You broke this down to just really all you can, I think, this works. I mean, unless you eliminate half of it, you know, I really would like to keep the tornado shelter. Well, they say tornado shelter. We can do a lot more stuff in there. It's not just for tornadoes. Correct. I mean, people are saying it's not,
you know, and I think
it's
emergency that's a good point.
Management that we need in this town. And I really think, I do not, in my opinion, want to eliminate that.
Certainly, in just the past cold snap that we had,
right,
we've seen several people that their furnaces is out there looking for a place to go get warm or whatever. Same thing in the summertime. When it gets so hot and everything, then there's a place for people to go. Then we don't have to depend on churches to do it. And in the, as far as the tornado shelter, or storm shelter, I mean, there's a whole lot of people that don't need it, but there's a whole lot of people that do need it.
I agree.
And I think that we should have supply a place for people to be safe and feel safe. But basement of the church, I just don't feel like is a storm shelter.
I
mean, it's a place to go. It's safer than being in a trailer or any other, you know, some other places around town or whatever. But we certainly need to provide our constituents a place that they can feel safe if there is a storm.
And I like the idea that we have an emergency management that maybe you need to bring other, towns or counties. I mean, if something were to happen, you have this facility, right? Is that what you were talking
about? Absolutely. You know, this multi-use facility would have a tremendous impact beyond the police department or courts or anything that, you know, that daily use. It's a community's use facility. I've talked with Alderman Barner a little bit about a citizen emergency response team program here in the Odessa community. And, this team of volunteers will need a place to help. There's a group of men and women that would have, if we were organized, come out and help during the last power outage. During when Troy's crew was out trying to get limbs, and I sat with a tree in the roadway, that they will come out and help remove this stuff so that it takes some of the need for our city services to do that. Well, this gives them a place to train, operate when we need them, but it has more function than that. You know, the mayor had mentioned, when it's 110 degrees outside, if we needed to bring somebody in for a cooling station, this would be it's a community use part of the facility. You know, when you look at the police department side, there's going to be security. I just can't have everybody walking back into the police department side of the building. That community use side is available for everybody to use. And that's what I would envision for the community.
But we shouldn't eliminate it. I mean, now what? We have to go to the top of the hill at the electric department. That's our facility.
Mm-hmm. We would relocate an emergency up there. We wouldn't have to do that. We'd actually do it right.
Yeah. Okay.
I'd like to bring it back to the next meeting then, is maybe we can get that finalized as far as the accent or whatever that you all would like to do. I think we'll bring the ordinance back at the next meeting, and then we can get that going. So that we have some kind of a goal to go for it be done. Because, I mean, May seems like it's pretty far off, but it gets here pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Just for me anymore.
And I feel a lot better. We've got a price now that we can kind of look at, that we can afford with the Hassan. And thank you very much for bringing this down and spelling this out for us for what we
need. And maybe, Donna, should one thing we didn't touch on the finance side, you know, the USDA loan is still the most reasonable option for us at that 40-year. But correct me if I'm wrong, you know, you can still... You know, that board or the future board can still make additional payments and pay that loan off sooner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to stick with the 40. I think the 42 is to allow for the construction section of the loan, which is how the USDA wants that structured. But that does not mean that you, if you're still sitting on the board or a future board or a future voter, doesn't make those decisions 20, 30, 35 years from now if funding is available to pay it off sooner.
Good point.
Anything else? Thank you, Mr. Chris. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. The next scheduled meeting is February the 5th. We will have 5:30 work budget, our budget sessions, and then 7:00 regular meeting. And so at this time, I'm going to take a motion to adjourn the closed session.
Make a motion to adjourn the closed session. So, press the motion.
I'll second. Motion and a second. Roll call.
Alderman Starr?
Yes.
Polson?
Yes.
Eller?
Yes.
Kramer?
Yes.
Barner?
Yes.